Okay, I must say, I just saw this amazing message. I just want to share it with you. This unbelievable knatch. It's such a beautiful point. It has nothing to do with what we're learning, but I just have to get it off my... I just have to get it. It's unbelievable. Rabbi Saul Salanter, the founder of Muslim movement. There's a famous story. It's a famous story that goes around. What made him start the Muslim movement? It's a famous story. What made Rabbi Saul start the Muslim movement? There was two shoemakers. That's a famous, that part is famous. Two shoemakers, and they were both colleagues, and shoemakers are not particularly wealthy, and they were struggling to make ends meet, and they worked together, two colleagues. One of them, from one day to the next, made an absolute fortune. Apparently won the lottery, or something equivalent to the lottery, but he amassed a huge fortune literally overnight. He became a very, very wealthy man, and obviously he stopped being a shoemaker. And he became very wealthy, and from becoming wealthy, became even more wealthy, made certain investments. And the two paths separated, the shoemaker remained a shoemaker, and the other one became a very rich man, and he became a very wealthy individual in the Kehillah, very well respected because of its stockers. And he'd forgotten a little bit about his past of being a shoemaker. And eventually he made a shidduch, and the chasna was coming, it was a huge chuppah. Huge chuppah, made a very choshev shidduch, wealthy man, made a huge shidduch, beautiful shidduch, huge chasana. And his ex-colleague, the shoemaker, couldn't bear that thought that his colleague had become so, he looked at the, he came for the chuppah, and he was unbelievable, beautiful, and he couldn't bear the thought, he was full of jealousy, full of kinna. And then he came under the chuppah, just mamash under the chuppah, and the climax of the chuppah, and all the rabbonim and the huge, the whole kele is standing there. The shoemaker, the one who still is a shoemaker, he said, excuse me. Everybody goes quiet and he holds a shoe. And he says, and he goes to the mechutin. And he says, do you mind, can you fix this shoe? Can you fix this shoe? You know, can you fix this shoe? You're a shoemaker, can you fix this shoe? And it was such a huge embarrassment in front of the whole kele, in front of all the rabbonim. The person fainted on the spot. And you can imagine what the chuppah was like afterwards. Faint on a spot, he couldn't bear the thought, and he became very ill from that. He became very ill from that episode. And he was nif to short kufa afterwards. It was from the embarrassment, from the uncomfortable, from the he was nif to short afterwards. So Rabbi Saul Salanter said, that's the story goes, that Rabbi Saul Salanter, this when he saw this happening, when he witnessed this happening, that made him start the Muslim. He realized that people have to work on their midas, and people have to. Something has to be happening, something else. And that's what made him found the Muslim movement. He's also not the Muslim movement, that's what made him work on the Muslim movement. That's the story. Now, the way the story is told is that what made him click? What do you think was the characteristics that made Rabbi Saul Salanter make the Muslim movement? What point bothered him? What was it? So the way the Pashtus is what is the Pashtus? The jealousy, the bad character, the shoemaker that is such a bad character. How can a person be so bad, so jealous, so bad? Why can he not be happy for Yenem? Why can he not be happy that he amassed the fortune? He's a wealthy. Why do you have to be so jealous about him? Why can't you just join the simcha happily with a smiling face? That's the pashtus. That's the way people say the story. And that's, I'm sure the way you may have heard the story, but that's the way that. But I just saw that Abnut Seinwert, Zatzal, I actually remember him a little bit. Abnut Seinwert, he said, actually, that's not the depth of the story. And he added a knatch to it, and I just want to share this with you, it's beautiful. He said, actually, that's not what made Rabbi Saul made the Muslim. It wasn't that former shoemaker. That was, okay, of course, it's a very bad midah, it's harsh chosa. But he said, even worse than that is actually the wealthy person. The one who was a shoemaker and he became so wealthy. If you think about it, was he, what is, what, why did he take it so badly? Why is it taking it so badly that if a person comes and he says, you know, can you fix my shoe? Can you fix my shoe? Why is it taking so bad that he faints on the spot and he gets so ill from it, so ill that literally dies from it? What does that show about the person? He's embarrassed about his past. He's denying half of his life. He's denying his, but he can't live with himself. He's not a person that is satisfied with what he has achieved in life, where he comes from, what he's done. He's a person that is a very negative. He's not happy. Why denying your past? And why are you so embarrassed about it? There's nothing wrong with being poor anyway. What's wrong? Why are you so embarrassed that you were poor at one point? What's wrong about that? What's wrong that you were poor and you're rich? What's embarrassing about it? The fact that he's living in a world of embarrassment and the fact that he's not happy with his success, the person that he can't, and the fact that he's negating his past. So that person actually, that he was the person that actually made him so move forward. He said, actually, I have to work on Midas. And that's what made Rabbi Saul found the Muslim movement. I thought it's a very beautiful knatch, how a person is to be satisfied with himself and happy to drive himself further, and certainly not to be embarrassed about, you know, yes, be wealthy, not be wealthy, all these middas and all these. I thought for me it was a very powerful point. So I just wanted to share it with you. Okay. Okay, we are up to, we're still in Hilchas Shmoneh Esser, and we'll be reading some of the fascinating halachas. Well, we started Simon Tzadik Gimel. And I'd like to start again from Simon Tzadik Gimel and move on from there. Kodim Shitzpalzer Chlishois, that's the, we start with Sif Aleph. I want to add something, but let's start from Sif Aleph. Yishe Shoachas Kodim Shokum Leispal, page 252. Person should wait 1 hour before he davens. Kidei Shechav Libo Lamokim, in order they should have Kavona, his heart to Lamokim to Hashem. Veshoachas Achat, filling 1 hour after davening. Shaloise Nireis Olof Kemasui. Don't run after davening. Don't run away. You should have 1 hour after to unwind. That it shouldn't look as if kemasui, that it's a burden on you. Shemaya, that you're hurrying. Lotze is to go out mena from it. Now, we spoke about the Mishnah Berurah over here, which says that first of all, Mishnah Berurah says that an hour means literally an hour over here for the chassidim rishonim, but also, right, somebody asked on Thursday's shiur, and I think I forgot who it was, said that isn't the Pesuk HaDizim the beginning of davening all the way till we reach Shmoneh Esser, isn't that considered Shah Achas? I think it might have been Rabbi Kagan, I'm not sure. So, and I said, no, when tefillah over here is referring to the whole tefillah, you have to have an hour preparation before actually davening starts. I saw that there are minority opinions who actually learn that's the Shah Achas. The Brochas in the Pesuk HaDizim is the way we prepare for Shmoneh Esser. So there is that opinion. It's a minority opinion, but there is such an opinion. So I just wanted to share it with you because I think that's interesting, Ma'am Malcolm, as well. Okay, see, base. A person should daven in a state from aima, from fear, ve'achna, and in humbleness. And certainly not in a state of lightheadedness, for kalusroish, if you're too happy. What's the right word for that? If you're like too hyper, if you're too, what's the word? Frivolous. Frivolous. Is that the word? Is that what it means? Yeah, frivolous. Like overly excited. That's not the way, lightheadedness. You don't daven like that. With dvarim betelim, not from like nothingness. Veloy mitoch kaas, and not from angerness. If you're just really angry, you're really, you know, a person lost a lot of money or just had a blow up with somebody. Veloy mitoch kaas, don't daven in a state of kaas, of anger. Elo, how should you daven? Mitoch simcha. Should daven in a state of happiness. Happiness, you're happy with yourself, happy with your connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. Simcha, you're happy. You're happy. We just quoted you right here. We just mentioned you. Elo mitoch simcha, we daven to Hashem with joy. Kegoin, such as, how do you define simcha? So simcha is not a good joke. That's not simcha. A funny good joke, that's not simcha. What is simcha? Simcha is kegoin divrei tanchumim shel Torah. When you see the beauty of the Torah, somuch legulas mitzrayim, or smichas geula, to be somuch geula letfilah, or somuch leletele David, or when you're praising the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's also a simcha, shekosu b'ritzon yireh of Yaseh, that Ribbono Shel Olam fulfilled the rots and the wish of the ones who fear him, yidnu fear the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem does their wishes. Shomer Hashem is kol ha'avav. Hashem guards all the people who love him. So we daven not in a state of anger, not in a state of over excitement, but we daven Ribbono Shel Olam in a state of simcha. Of we're happy to be close to Hashem. We're happy with ourselves. We're happy with our achievements, and we're happy to be able to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the state that a yid davens in. But that, together with Hachno, says the Mishneh Berurah in Tzivkot and Gimel, Be'eima in fear of Hachno and humbleness, Shenema Ivdu es Hashem B'yiro, the Pasuk says, Ivdu you should serve as Hashem, Hashem B'yiro in fear. Hainu HaTfilah, the Tfilah, Shehilonu B'mokim Avoido, Tfilah which is instead of Avoidus Kabonus, Asu Oiso, do it B'yiro in a state of fear. Yeah. So you should wait. You should tuck away. Okay, so then if there is no other option, then he should daven then. It shouldn't be mevatel in the but it should not, if there is another minion, quarter of an hour later, should rather go for a walk for 10 minutes and then go to the next minion.
The same goes for Kalas.
Correct. Now you're right that if there is no other minion, I saw this in the postgame. I don't know if the Mishneh Berurah mentioned over here others. No, I don't think Mishneh Berurah pens, but if there's no other alternative, if it doesn't miss daven now, he's not going to daven at all, then yes, he should daven, even though lechatchila one should daven in that state. But ideally, one certainly shouldn't daven in that kind of matzav. Tanchum Mishal Torah means, that you feel, Tanchum, you feel, it's not mercy, you feel the Tanchumim, the, not mercy, but you feel tanchumim. It's another word for it.
Compassion
of the Torah. Tanchum Mishal Torah. That you feel the comfort maybe. That's better word. Tanchum Mishal Torah. Yeah. Mishneh Berurah adds here a little bit. Loi mitoch. So there's three levels of the Mishneh Berurah in Sifkot and Dalet. Loi mitoch. Roitz loima. The mitzvah min amufcha. Ideally, she'ein oimdim elo mitoch emo ve'achno. Ideally, you should have in a state of fear and achno. Elo, but kivin she'ein kol echod yochel leizoyer lehachnis belibo achno ve'emo. Since says the Mishnah, not everybody is able to have that feeling of humbleness and fear to Hashem. It's very difficult. It's a life's work to feel that fear of Hashem. Not everybody can do that. So therefore, al korponim at the very least lo yispal mitoch schoik. Don't daven in a. At the very least, don't daven in a situation. In an emotional state of schoik, of frivol, what was that?
Frivolity.
Elo mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, rather than simcha shel mitzvah. So there is three levels. The level which is unacceptable is, it's not the other hand. The ideal level is eima ve'achno. That's the best level. Eima ve'achno. Not everybody is able to do that, because it's a life's work to feel that Hachno in front of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You see the Gdolim daven, that's the way they daven. If you ever zoicha to see Avotin Zichrono daven, or people say Moshe Feinstein, all the Gdolim, Shem Zalman, the way they daven was in a state of Eima v'Achno. That's ideal. And second best is in a kind of Pava shape, Pava state, that you don't feel overly humble, but at least not better than the third state, which is a level of unacceptable, overly excited, emotional state. So there are three levels, and because that's unacceptable. Level three is no good. Siv Gimel. It's explaining and defining what is Simcha. What is a level of, what is Simcha? If Simcha is not to be lightheaded, what is Simcha? So Simcha says, the Shulchan Aruch, Simcha is Tanchum Mishal Torah. When you feel that compassion of the Torah, or when you feel the feeling of Geulas Mitzrayim, when you feel that, I'm just rephrasing it slightly differently, I'm saying that when you feel that connection to Hashem, whether it's for personal compassion or for Klal Yisrael compassion, when you have that feeling, that's the state that we are talking about, that's a considered Simcha. Yeah, it is an interesting Lashon. I agree. Tanchum Mishal Torah. Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, I hear the expression. I hear. Save Gemel. One should not daven in a state of when you're just coming mitoich din or mitoich halacha, when you're straight away paskening a din, when you are dying, you shouldn't rush off from this really, really tough halachic complex shaila. You shouldn't run from there straight into mincha. When you're discussing, when you have to pass in a very, very difficult shaila, whether it's Choshe Mishpat, whether it's Yerideh, Evnezer, trying to be Matir and Aguno, oh, whatever, you're paskening a multi-million din Torah. Don't go straight away from that into Mincha, or into any Shmoneh for that matter. Because inevitably, you're not going to be able to concentrate in your Shmoneh. You won't be able to concentrate. Only if you've paskened and the case is clear, you've done a psak, and you know it's muta, it's also chayev, poto, then that's fine, then you can go. But don't, if you're in the middle of something and you're not, there's no clarity yet, don't go into Shmoneh Esra. But it says the Rama, if it's a halacha psuka, if it's a clear psak, and you know exactly what you're holding, that is perfectly in order. In fact, that's recommended. That's considered mitoch simcha, ki pikudei Hashem yisori mishori misam chelev. Beautiful Mishnah, beautiful Shulchan Rama over here. That when there is a psak, pikudei Hashem yisorim, when the words of Hashem, the pikudim, the commandments of Hashem, are yisorim, they are straight, misam chelev, they cause happiness. So once you have an established psak, once the halacha is clear, and you've got absolute clarity in the psak, that causes a person simcha, and that's a recommended simcha. That's a simcha shel Torah. That's a simcha shel mitzvah. And that's in order. And you can daven in that state of mind. Seif Katan, Mishnah Berurah, Seif Katan, hey, psuka, she'ein bo iyun v'loy machloikas. If you don't have to delve in it anymore, it's straightforward, v'loy machloikas, there's no machloikas remaining. It's clear. Today, in order shelo yitoret al yidei zeh betfilah, that you will not be bothered by this in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Humikol makorim, nevertheless. Im osak bepilpul halacha, if you are in the middle of discussing a complex halacha, v'yischilu atzipul ispalel, and the minion is starting to daven, yispalel imahem, you should still join them. Do join them, although you are in the middle of a pilpul halacha. Ubifrat, and especially achshav nowadays, she'en mechavni kol kach betfilah, that there is no kavonah, we don't have such great kavonahs in tefillah, v'lo yiziru, elo lechatchila, all this is only lechatchila, shelo yasik bepilpul kodem matfilah, that you shouldn't be mefalpul so much, it's only that, lechatchila, you should be some sort of separation, lechatchila, it's not ideal to go straight from a pilpul halacha straight into mincha, so it's lechatchila, but nowadays, if there's inevitable, it's fine. Yeah. If there's no other option, then yes, I suppose, yeah. Now, my question to this, Mishnah Berurah, and I don't exactly know what the answer, I don't know what you think about this. Habaisai, it's quite common in many, many kollelim and in many yeshivas all over the world that Seder sometimes finishes, sometimes it starts, but often Seder finishes with a mincha. It's quite common, it's very common. I myself have many, many, many years in halachical. And we finished Seder, and we went into Mincha. And I'm not quite sure what the Pshat is over here. I think I do know Pshat, but why is that okay? Why is that okay? It's common in most yeshivas. Kolelim.
Practicality.
What's that?
Practicality.
Meaning practicality, so there's no other option. Right, instead of, it's practicality, it's more, yeah, practicality. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. How can I? Yeah. I hear. Yeah. Very good. I think that might be the answer, indeed. I think that might be the answer, although it's not 100% evident, but it could be that it is talking about somebody who actually paskens. It's not talking about somebody who is necessarily learning. But it is talking about somebody who needs to come to a psak. I'm not 100% convinced, Moshele, in this answer, because the rationale, the svara of this Shulchan Aruch applies to also somebody who's not paskening. If somebody is in the middle of learning a sugya and you want to understand what the halacha is, and then you're going to go into mincha, you're likely to think about this during mincha as well. But it could be that, so it's not only for the posik, but I'm not sure. I'm honestly not sure. Yeah.
I think I've seen some yeshivas, they do like a 10-15 minute Musa Seder.
Yeah, that's very good. That's ideal. That's perfect. Yeah, if there's a Musa Seder in between, that's perfect. Yeah. Yeah, otherwise I'm not 100% convinced what is it based on? Okay, Siv Dalet. Ha'oisik b'tzoke tzibu. Very interesting, we'll be talking about Tzola now. Ha'oisik b'tzoke tzibu. Somebody is busy with tzoke tzibu. The needs of the community. Ka'oisik b'toira domi, it is as if somebody is oisik b'toira. Somebody is busy with communal matters, it's as if he's learning Torah. Perush. What does that mean? What does this statement mean? The meaning of this statement is, le'inyin la'amot mitoicha le'ispalel. Now, it's referring to somebody standing from there to daven, meaning, shigamzu simcho hiloi sha'oisik b'tzok etzibo. Like somebody is allowed to go from learning into learning, we said, is p'kud Hashem esom cheleiv, and therefore he's allowed to daven in that state. So similarly, also somebody is oisik betzokei tzibur, he's also helping others, and that's also a state of simcha, and he's allowed to daven from that. So if you're busy with tzokei tzibur, you are helping, you're supporting the community by doing communal matters, and then you're going from that into mincha, that is fine. That's fine. That's a certain simcha, which is fine. The Shulchan Aruch continues another pshat. V'yesh mefarshim, some say le'inim de'eino tzorich lifzoik le'ispalel. Or they say that you don't need to stop in order to daven. So if somebody is busy doing something for the community, is busy doing tzorich etzibah, says the second opinion, you don't need to stop now what you're busy doing. You're oisik b'mitzvah. You're doing something for the community. You're doing something for communal matter. You don't have to interrupt. You don't have to interrupt. You're oisik b'tzokei tzibur. You don't have to stop now to daven. You can just carry on doing what you're doing. Oisik b'mitzvah. Potter min ha-mitzvah. That will be relevant for somebody, for instance, who is a doctor. Or it could be somebody who is a Hatzalah member. Or anybody who is doing things for others. These are very extreme examples. But somebody who is busy doing something for others and is really busy for the community, he's helping others. Then the halacha is that he's oisik b'mitzvah and he's osuk b'tzokei tzibur. And now comes the last time, now is the latest time to have mincha. What should he do? Does he need to interrupt his service, his communal service, and have mincha? Or should he continue? The answer is, indeed, he doesn't, yesh mefarshim, indeed, as you're saying, ta'inu le'inun she'eno tzorich lifsoik, you don't have to interrupt, le'ispal in order to daven, so you don't have to stop. The Mishneh Berurah discusses over here, in Sefkoten Ches, le'ispal afilim yavo zman tefillah, even if the zman tefillah passes, if you're the only one, that's a very important word, if you're the only one dealing with this matter, if it's a communal matter, you have to continue, you mustn't stop. We'll open another example, Rabbi Yisai. You're doing something that nobody else can do, and you're doing it. And now comes time for mincha. Could somebody think of an example? Fundraising. Good example. Rabbi, what do you think about fundraising? You're busy fundraising, and now it's last time for mincha. I think that fundraising, you'd have to stop. The reason being, because if you don't fundraise now, you can still fundraise after mincha. You don't have to stop. This over here, if you're a Hatzalah member, you can't have that person who's bleeding away. Excuse, do you mind? I'm going to need to catch mincha. I'll be back soon. That when you can't, you know, you can't delay things. So this is specifically talking about something that you can't delay. So if you are doing something which cannot be delayed, and you have to do it now, comes time for mincha, you can carry on, and you don't have to have mincha. The question that the Shai Tzion discusses, a beautiful machloikas, do you have to actually daven this next Shemana Esser? Do you have to daven Tashlumin? Do you have to daven two Shemana Essers? Is it aloha if somebody is an oynes, or somebody misses the Shemana Esser, if you have to daven twice later on? It's machloek is over here as to whether there's an oynes or ptur, and as to whether you should daven a second Shemana Esser later. Okay, let's start with Simon Tzadi Dalet. Oh, the two pshatim in the statement. According to the first pshat, if you have to, yeah. But the halacha is, the Mishneh Berurah paskens, that we pasken, we do pasken like the second pshat. Yeah, we do pasken like both indeed, you're right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we do pastam v'yesh mefarshim, we pasken here like the yesh mefarshim. I wonder why, Taka. The Mishneh Berurah does point out in Sifkot and Zayin. They're not a stira. That's maybe pshat. Yeah, I hear. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Tzorich lechav min neged Eretz Yisrael. We need the kavanah to we need to face Eretz Yisrael when we daven. V'dina roichev v'yoshev b'sfinah. Somebody's riding on a donkey, or is riding on any animal for that matter. Or yoshev b'sfinah. Somebody's on a boat. Okay, we'll start with Shem. Bekumalei spalalim oyoyimid b'chutz la'oretz. We'll start that with Shem. We'll continue with that tomorrow. Mitz Hashem. Just to recap what we covered tonight, we spoke about an hour before, an hour after davening. We spoke that a person needs to daven be'emo ve'achno, ideally, and certainly not in a state of a kalus roish and anger. He should daven in a state of simcha, which is tadchum shel Torah. And we also learned the halacha that a person should not daven if he's torut, if his mind is completely engrossed in a din. That's no good, because he's going to be just engrossed in his learning, in his din. If halacha psuka, if it's gepaskim to halacha, that's fine, because that would actually be considered ki bikudei Hashem as yishorim esam chelev. We learned also that somebody oisik b'tzarki tzibur, he can daven from the oisik b'tzarki tzibur straight into davening. That's considered a simcha. The fact you're able to support other yidden, that's a simcha. That's fine. You can. It's not considered a problem. You can go from that into Shemoneh Esrei. And we also learned finally that if you're busy supporting others, you're doing a communal matter which cannot be done by anybody else, and it cannot be done later on, you don't have to stop. In fact, you should continue even if you're going to miss the Shemoneh Esrei. Good evening, Abayi Sa'ed.